Live for Jesus. There is no better life. Turn, please, with me to Romans chapter 4. Several days ago, I think it was, I was reading in a devotional book that was given to me. And the topic for that day caught my eye. It was called Abraham's Hope. That's not my sermon title, but it caught my eye. And it talked about the impossible promise that God made to Abraham, which was to have a son and to have a long list of descendants. So I want to take Romans 4 and just pull some verses out of there. And what I'm going to do, if you would like, if you want to, I'm going to have a bunch of other verses I want to use later on. If you want to write them down, that's great. Save them in your phone, whatever. I'm not going to ask you to turn there because I think it would end up just getting too confusing and maybe time take too long to do it. But anyhow, before Abraham had any children, God promised that he would have vast descendants. He told him, Genesis 15:5, he took him outside and said, "Look now towards the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Now, that was a metaphor, that was an example. The amount of stars that are actually out there, way more than Abraham's descendants, but it was an object of you're going to have a long, long line of descendants. Genesis 22:17, he said to Abraham later on, "Blessing, I will bless you." And this was after he offered his son Isaac. "Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars in the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." So the story goes on, time passed, Abraham and Sarah got old, and it didn't look like they were going to have any children to carry on this long line that God promised. And even when they tried to take matters in their own hands and did that whole thing with Hagar and Ishmael came along, God said, "No, it's not going to come through Ishmael." Abraham had to learn to trust in God's promises. So look with me in verse 3 of Romans 4. Just keep your Bibles open. We're going to glance through several verses there. Verse 3 says, "For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It took many years, much doubt, human mistakes, until Abraham came to the point where he trusted God and believed him to fulfill that promise. And it was at that point that God, being God, did something that only God could do, and he had Sarah get pregnant at 90 years old. That removed all human intervention and proved that only God could have accomplished this. And granted, if you wanted to use the argument that, okay, so people lived a lot longer back then, and so a 90-year-old woman might be compared to, a 60-year-old woman today. I'm not sure the comparison would be. But even so, a 50- or 60-year-old woman getting pregnant today would still be pretty amazing. And it would prove that God was still working something special and showing his power. In fact, this indicates even then the unlikelihood of a 90-year-old woman getting pregnant. Abraham and Sarah both laughed at it. So, even then, it was pretty unlikely. And then if you look back down there to verse 16, and we're going to read through verse 19, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all of the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb.'" Abraham recognized that the reproduction of him and Sarah, it was pretty much dead. And they were past their prime. And at that point, he had to reach a place of faith in God. And that's shown in the next three verses, 20 to 22. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Sarah did have a son. You know the story. They called him Isaac. And you know what his name means? Who knows what his name means?
Laughter.
It was laughable. So they named him Laughter. Yet God performed the impossible just as he had done countless times through history. What I want to focus on today is we need to learn to have faith in that same God. And I'm calling this sermon Faith Like Abraham. What do we need to have faith in? God keeps his promises. God promised Abraham and Sarah they'd have a son, and he kept that promise. Now, some of you have children still living at home. Some of you have children that are since grown. Some of you have children that have grandchildren, I think. Yeah, we do. But I'm sure you've experienced this with your children. Hey, mom or dad, will you take me fishing today or ride bikes with me? Can't today, sorry. But you promised! The guy that says that all the time is nodding his head. Well, if you don't, then that would be a lie. Okay, no, I didn't say I promised. I said maybe. Maybe we might be able to. So how many can recognize that scenario? How many had that problem? Wow. I do try very hard to keep my word with my boys. If I say I'm going to do something, I try very hard to do it. However, many times my maybes turn into direct, unbreakable promises. With God, however, if he makes a promise, he will keep it. He doesn't rashly say he's going to do something and then not follow through. So I don't know why God led me to this today, but is there someone listening, whether here or somewhere else, wherever that may be, that needs reminded that God does keep his promises? And that's what I want to focus on. I have 12 promises that I want to give you. And no, it's not like sermon points where each one's really long. So I will keep to my 20, 25, maybe at the max 30 minutes. But how many need reminded that God keeps his promises? First one. The promise of forgiveness. The most awesome promise that God has made is in 1 John 1:9. And I think you could quote it if I got you started. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just think of the magnitude of this promise. He can and he will cleanse us from sin and ask if we ask him for forgiveness. And obviously, I could spend a lot of time here, and honestly, I could probably spend a lot of time here on every one of these promises, but I just want to mention two things. First, if you've never experienced this forgiveness, do it. Don't wait for another minute to experience the forgiveness that God offers. Also, if you have something in your life that isn't right, that needs corrected, and the Lord has checked you on it, there's forgiveness for that too. Don't wait to take care of it. The same God that cleanses also can keep us. Okay, so there's a hymn that says, "Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." And there's actually a very, very strong truth there. If you take snow and melt it down, it's dirty. That water is dirty. It looks so white though. So when the song says, "I'll be whiter than snow," or the scripture says, "whiter than snow," that's pretty clean. And aren't you glad that God has made that promise? Have you immersed yourself in that promise? And then we'll go on to say that God also offers the promise of complete freedom. Another subject I could stay a long time on. John 8:36, another one you should know. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. There are people all over the world. There are people in our own backyards that are living in chains of bondage to Satan. They are seeking answers, and they're not finding them. But because of the forgiveness that we just mentioned, God has promised through His Son's sacrifice that we can have complete freedom. And I don't want to plumb the depths of it, nor do I want to take the time to do it, because of the way this sermon is prepared. But I want you to understand that forgiveness and freedom are two different things. You can ask forgiveness and turn around and go do this thing over again. You know, you can ask God for forgiveness and go right back to that sin. Oh, He forgave you, but you're not free. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we can have forgiveness from those sins, and we can be free from the entanglement of those sins. Again, I've hoped you've experienced forgiveness, and I hope you've experienced freedom. And if you haven't, you know where to look. There's an old hymn that says, "Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine." Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever, He shall be mine. And then on that note, God also offers a promise of power against Satan. I said a minute ago that there are people living under bondage to Satan and his power. Unfortunately, even after a person accepts Christ as their Savior, there are some that still don't believe they have power over Satan. Well, there's a promise for that. How many of you remember when smartphones were just becoming popular and it was Apple that was the rage, and whenever there was a program they wanted, oh, there's an app for that. Remember that line? It was really popular like 10 years ago. Anyhow, you think you don't have power over Satan? Well, there's a promise for that. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's powerful. James tells us through the inspiration of the Spirit that we can send Satan running. Do you realize that you do not need to stay and experience Satan's attacks? Recognize if Satan's tempting you to sin, tempting you to doubt God's power, tempting you to be discouraged and give up, and tell him to get lost. No, you can't do it in your own strength. But you can tell him Jesus is on your side. Claim the name of Jesus and Satan will flee. So are you standing on that promise? Our God is more powerful than Satan. Don't forget it. Then we have the promise of godly wisdom. Are you aware that people are incredibly intelligent but have no wisdom? There are people out there like that. Incredibly smart, but don't have the brains to get in out of the rain, that type of thing. How many times have you faced a situation where you just didn't know what to do? And for me, it's at those times I ask the Lord for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, this isn't talking about general life wisdom, but spiritual wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. Wisdom that helps us to be a good witness in the middle of our troubles, and wisdom in handling tough situations. But just remember, if you ask God for the promise to be fulfilled, to give you wisdom, ask Him for humility along with it. Because you don't want to get a big head for something God has done. God has promised us wisdom if we ask for it. That's powerful. That's an amazing promise. And then number 5, we have the promise of provision. In America, we have a bit of a skewed, and I say that very loosely, idea of what is needed in life. you likely need to have 3 sports cars and 2 boats and a $300 million home, you know, that kind of thing. Those are what we need. Our needs quickly become unnecessary frills. And I would venture to say if we went around here this morning, we'd even say some of our needs, we wouldn't really need them. But do you know that God has promised to provide our needs? Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And to be clear, this isn't talking about what we think our needs are, but what God knows our needs to be. And frankly, while I believe this can be applied to physical things, I strongly believe that this verse is implying more in the area of spiritual provision. And I'll explain. While I think that many of us can state there has never been a time that we haven't had a roof over our head, clothes on our backs, food in our refrigerators, and a refrigerator to stay running, there are also people that can't say that who are serving the same God simply because they're living in an impoverished country. That's why I believe this verse is stating that we, when we ask him for our needs, he will provide whatever we need to make it on this Christian journey. He will give us the provisions for our Christian journey if we'll ask him for it. Whenever our family goes on vacation, we always take several very large coolers packed as tight as we can possibly get them, and then sometimes we have to take several other insulated bags because we run out of room of food for our vacation because we don't eat out. Saves us hundreds of dollars on our vacations. We enjoy staying in our condo or whatever it is we stay, and we make our own food, and we enjoy being together, and that's how we like to do it. But we take plenty of provisions and then some to make it through the week. While our Father has promised to provide whatever provisions we need to get to heaven, some of which we already talked about, some of which we'll be addressing here in a little bit, but aren't you glad and so incredibly thankful that God has not only just given us salvation and left us to fend for ourselves? He's given us the provisions to get us to heaven. Stand on that promise. He'll provide what we need to get there. And then there's the promise that he's in charge. There are many leaders in this world that think they're in charge. So many leaders have gotten a big head just because of the power they think they have. And I'll be honest, if I allowed myself to, I could probably get pretty afraid of what some of the leaders in our world and even in our own country are coming up with. But honestly, I don't. I don't get in a panic about that. Why my pessimism doesn't kick in on that, I do not understand. But the only thing I can get it is I know who's in charge. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Some president, some dictator, some whoever might think they have the world by the tail, but I know the one who's in charge. Nothing is catching him by surprise. So are you holding on to the promise that God is bigger and stronger than any crisis in the world? And then we have the promise of his power. Have you ever felt weak? I know I have. I know there are times when I felt like I just couldn't go on. And I'm sure all of you, most of all of you, except maybe those that are under 3 or 4, have felt that way. And this is when we lean on God's power. He has an unending power to strengthen us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "I will strengthen thee." Do you think God is powerful enough to handle our situations? Is he powerful enough to strengthen us when we need it? The words of the song come to mind, and I want to use that here for a minute. "I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, and built the lofty skies. By his command, the mountains were made, the seas were created, the sky and all its vastness, universe, everything was created." That's power. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. He placed the sun just where it needed it to be. Or should I say he placed the earth? Well, it doesn't matter. He placed the sun and the earth just the right distance apart. A little bit closer, we'd fry. A little bit farther away, we'd freeze. And God made it that way. Powerful. I sing the goodness of the Lord who filled the earth with food, who formed the creatures through his word and then pronounced them good. He's given us enough to live. We don't need to worry about it. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye, if I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky. I don't know how you are when you go outside, but everywhere I look in nature, I see God. We took Paul up to High Rock Lookout. Man, do I feel close to God when I'm there. Except for the graffiti and the kids hanging around that I'm not sure what all they're on, but for the most part, looking out there, I see God. There's not a plant or flower below, but makes thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. Everything created sings of a great creator. He controls it all, the clouds, the rain, the storms, everything with his power. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that we can be, thou God are present there. Everything has borrowed life from God because he is keeping everything alive, including you and me. And no matter where we go or what we do, he's there with us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. Have you ever felt powerless? Then remember, you serve a powerful God that has promised to be with you. 8, the promise when we think it's impossible. I don't need to ask the question because we've all faced situations that seemed impossible. The disciples were struggling with the fact that Jesus could offer salvation and eternal life in heaven, and how in the world they couldn't wrap their heads around it. And Jesus gave them a very simple but very powerful statement, Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I love that God used the greatest miracle of all to explain this impossible thing to them. If God can offer salvation from sins, then what's impossible for him? Again, so much to be said there. But remember, when things look impossible, God is the God of the impossible. Then we have the promise of peace. Look around you. It's chaos. We live in a society that's anything but peaceful. World leaders over and over and over again try to make peace. They try to have these peace agreements and they fall apart. People are seeking for peace. They're trying to find something to numb the pain. They don't know true peace. Well, I'm here to tell you that our Father has promised true peace. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Philippians 4:6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I was reminded again of the words to an old hymn, there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come here to stay. The peace that Jesus came to offer is a peace that can't be bought. It's a peace that can't be stolen. Do you have it? Ask him for it. He's promised. And then we have the promise of his presence. Do you ever feel alone? Do you ever feel like no one cares? Do you ever feel like sometimes you're the only person in the world going through that particular struggle? Do you ever feel like you'll never come out of it? Well, we have many promises from our Heavenly Father about being with us during these types of struggles. And to be clear, He's always with us, but especially during the struggle. I was talking with someone a few days ago, and they were going through a really low time and made the statement they wish God would just show up and do something for them. Now I knew what they meant because honestly, I'd felt that way myself different times. Man, God, I wish you'd just show up and do something big in my life. But I felt really strongly to tell this person that God won't show up. He can't show up. Why? Because He never left. He's there already. So don't ask Him to show up when He's already there with you. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, He is the one that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Point of Grace sings a song, you will never walk alone as long as you have faith. Jesus will be right beside you all the way, and you may feel you're far from home, but home is where He is, and He'll be there down every road. You'll never walk alone. Don't forget that promise. You are never alone because Jesus has left His Spirit with us. And then 11, the promise for when we're afraid. There was a little boy that had gone to bed, and his mom and dad weren't in bed yet. We never have this problem. Mommy! So Mommy comes to the little boy. What's wrong? I'm scared. And he was crying. So she prayed with him. And then he goes, can you sleep with me tonight? And she said, no. Why not? Because I need to sleep with Daddy. The big sissy. Fear is real. It's often crippling. And I think of Steve today, and I think that's a crippling fear. It comes in different ways and in different forms, and I would be shocked if someone here said they've never been afraid. There's nothing wrong with having fear. But what is damaging and very sad is when we live in that fear. And I'm speaking to myself, okay? This is not God's design. He has many promises telling us we don't need to be afraid and live in a place of constant turmoil because Satan loves it when that happens. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. I will help you. And I love that visual. Holding my right hand. He's holding my hand. What a beautiful picture. Jesus walking right beside me, holding my hand. And the reality is, it's true. We don't need to live in fear because He is with us. What a promise. And then the last one, the promise for when we're weary. Is there anyone here just plain down weary? I'm not talking about sleepy weary. I'm talking about weary. Weary from all the trouble life has been throwing our way. This rat race we call life is just wearing us down mentally, emotionally, physically. Its weariness is something we all and are currently experiencing. And there has been so much recently that many of us have faced so much stress in life that's just, we're tired. And thankfully, I know the one who can give rest. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then my favorite passage in Scripture. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you weary from a trial? Are you physically exhausted? Are you tired of a spiritual struggle? Then go to the Father who promises rest. One of my special moments as a dad is when Jeremiah comes and gives me a hug. We have this ritual. We're running low on hugs, so we have to come get stocked back up. And he comes sometimes and lays his head on my chest and gives me a hug, and we just hug for a little while. For a dad, that's really cool. And I like that visual, going to Jesus, laying my head on his chest. I'm tired. I need a hug. Go to Jesus. He's promised to give rest. Some time ago, I preached a sermon, and I'd called it God's Promises. And when I came across this, when this sermon idea came to me, I suddenly realized, I think I already preached this. So I went back and looked, and you know what I found? They weren't the same, because I'm only touching on all the promises that God gives. Our God is so awesome to give us all these promises in Scripture. And you know what? You won't break God's promises by standing on them. Stand with me.